Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Cytoic, and I'm delighted to introduce you to your Stone Age brain in the Screen Age. As a neurologist, a neuropsychologist, and a textbook writer, my goal is to illuminate the way we think, what scientists call metacognition. Now, few people have any reason to think this way, of course, but it's my profession, so I'll do the thinking for you. I hope by the end to leave you with a stimulating new perspective. I use the term Stone Age because modern brains are no different from those of our distant ancestors. They have not evolved, whereas technology has grown exponentially. I focus on digital distractions and the detrimental effects that phones and screens of all sorts have been having on us. Everyone agrees our attention spans have gone to hell. People say, I'm addicted to my phone, then spend hours scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, unable to cut back, no matter how much they say they want to. People wrongly look at the issue as a matter of external forces rather than from the brain's perspective. I also think in engineering terms. What does it cost in energy to perform a certain action or think a certain thing? So, insight number one. The brain operates within fixed energy limits. This will surprise most listeners. No amount of diet, exercise, or Sudoku puzzles can increase available energy. Willpower and a pot of coffee are likewise useless. If we can't overcome the brain's inherent energy limits, then we need to learn to work with what we have, not what we fancy ourselves capable of doing. The idea that planks and Pilates can boost brain power is a fantasy. The biological brain is an energy hog. It accounts for only 2% of body weight, yet consumes 20% of the daily calories we burn. Most goes towards maintaining the physical structure by pumping sodium and potassium ions across membranes. There's precious little left over for mental work, which is what everyone is interested in. And that's why we're so awful at multitasking and coping with sensory overload. An overload of working memory is the reason behind the Oscar fiasco, in which Andrew Cullinan of Pricewaterhouse handed the presenters the wrong envelope for Best Picture. He was tweeting about Emma Stone at the very moment he should have been queuing up the next envelope. Lesson: your attention cannot hold two things at once. Insight number two, people's appetite for mental garbage. People obsess over what they put in their bodies, organic, vegan, gluten-free, no artificial colorings, but why aren't they as picky about what they take in through the senses? The mental garbage we ingest is arguably more harmful than an occasional cheeseburger and fries. Some individuals fast for health or religious reasons. What if it were possible to indulge in a sensory fast for a day or even an hour, free from texts, tweets, videos, emails, and other digital junk food? Our brains did not evolve to crave constant stimulation. They crave face-to-face social engagement. To a baby, nothing is more fascinating than a human face. They lock onto it, follow it, and smile it as their pupils dilate. Every parent and grandparent knows this. So why then do we block our real faces from one another with mediated images on phones and tablets? Thousands of likes, follows, and online acquaintances are nothing compared to an intimate connection with the person sitting next to us. We have all seen people gathered around, each staring alone into their cell phone, failing to engage with the person a foot away. And we wonder why there's an epidemic of loneliness. Insight number three, screens induce virtual autism. Virtual autism is the development of autistic-like behaviors in otherwise normal youngsters who are exposed to heavy amounts of screen media, especially gaming. Though behaviors mimic those of autism spectrum disorder, avoiding eye contact, social withdrawal, delayed language, and reduced imaginative play, these children typically recover once screen time is drastically reduced or eliminated. The term virtual autism was introduced by Romanian psychiatrists who studied children exposed to prolonged screen time. When screens were removed and then they were encouraged to engage in social and physical activities, their symptoms reversed, which is not at all the case in the developmental kind of autism. Young brains are malleable and molded by whatever environment they are exposed to. Critical windows, particularly during the first 2 years of life, are essential for growing connections in brain areas responsible for vision, language, and social cognition. Screens interfere with this natural development by reinforcing pathways that prioritize sensory gratification, such as rapid sequences of sights and sounds, at the expense of those for social and emotional intelligence, empathy, and imagination. Insight number 4. Screens act like secondhand smoke. Just as we learn to shield ourselves from cigarette fumes, we can guard against unwanted screen exposure. Monitors play cooking shows while you're on the treadmill. Advertisements beckon in subway stations and bus shelters. Can you remember when those used to be quiet spaces where you could be alone with your thoughts? You probably can't. Trying not to look is hard, if not impossible. Screens demand to be looked at. You may have an hour to kill at the airport, but a monitor in the lounge blasts out the latest news as if the updates at the bottom crawl were something you couldn't live without knowing right now. Yet it seizes your attention like a moth to a flame and holds it. We can reclaim our attention, but it takes effort. Screens will always be proliferating. We can learn, however, to coexist with them by establishing screen-free zones and socializing face-to-face more often with others. We can set boundaries for when and where we use our devices, who we let text us, what companies we allow to send us push notifications. It's easier said than done, but you have to begin somewhere. The strongest thing you can do is begin and keep at it. Insight number 5. iPads are the worst babysitter and a form of child abuse. We once lived in a slow-paced, natural world of green environments. Resources our ancestors once fought over now overwhelm us. Today's technology that promised to enrich our lives has since been crafted to hold the user's attention as long as possible. There are only 1,440 minutes in a day, and tech companies fight ruthlessly for our eyeballs and make it hard to disengage. Hook an infant on an iPad, and you've got a customer for life. Exasperated parents may say they're the only thing that keeps kids quiet, but the iPad is the worst babysitter ever. Shoving one in front of a youngster or dangling it over a bassinet is a form of child abuse, in my opinion, because doing so blocks the development of their central vision. Normal vision is 20/20. A newborn's acuity is 20/400. Color vision becomes functional around 4 to 6 months, as do other networks for decoding the perceptual complexity of movement. Despite their underdeveloped vision, newborns are astute social creatures. Locking on to an adult's dilated pupils is a common sign of interest and pleasure that makes them smile. iPads interfere with this natural development. Screen characters don't talk with a child, but rather at them. They provide none of the emotional, social, and linguistic cues that pour forth when a child interacts with a real parent or grandparent. Critical windows within the first 2 years exist for the growth of brain areas responsible for vision, language, and emotional intelligence, including theory of mind, which entails learning how to read other, a skill that develops long before we learn to speak. Screens interfere with the natural sequence of maturation by reinforcing pathways that prioritize immediate sensory gratification over pathways destined for this kind of emotional intelligence. Well, I hope thinking about your Stone Age brain has given you food for thought. Thanks so much for listening.